the near cult. About 1978 or so, 79, I wrote a bachelor's thesis in my seminary career. I turned it in, and the faculty were ecstatic with it. They said it was the greatest thing that they'd ever seen written on the charismatic movement. They wanted me to do my master's degree on it, so I did. And then they wanted me to do my doctorate and expand it. But I did my doctorate on the book of Revelation, my doctor's thesis. In the beginning of this book here, it says this is a partial fulfillment or master of theology degree, CAMBI. Well, there is a great infection in society, religious society in all angles today, that they want to be. The charismatic movement is what we might call interdenominational or non-denominational, but it is a denomination in itself. The Catholics, Mormons, Buddhist, Christian Science, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Foursquare, all of these churches, and of course all kinds of the Pentecostal groups, all different flavors, Church of God in Christ and oneness, all of this together. They are all charismatic in that they all believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues to prove that you're saved. They believe in Arminian theology that salvation is day by day, that in other words, you are saved partially by God and partially by yourself. Calvinism is you're saved by the grace of God and Him only. You come with Him with nothing and you get to heaven with nothing of your own. We're on page number 29 in the thesis. We're under the title of helps. Now, we went back and we studied about the gift of apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, and now helps, number 6. They were all together, administrations, various kinds of languages, evangelists, pastors, faith, hope, and love. There were 13 gifts all together. We're going to talk about helps. We talked about how that in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, whatever you want to call it, they go back to the day of Pentecost. And they said, of course, in 1906, down at the Azusa Street Revival, people from all over the world were infected with that. People were coming from all over the world to hear the black person preach, and then women preachers, and there were just a lot of speakers down there actually at that time. That Azusa Street Revival went through with till 1909 with a group there with a black minister. It went on till about 1915. But it affected the whole world. Fire baptized Methodists. Now, wherever you go and see a dove on a church, that means they're charismatic. Whether the Methodist, Baptist. I used to go to California every now and then for a doctor about once a month or 2 months when I lived in Fish Lake Valley. Well, I had been going to a little Baptist church out there in Green Acres. And I took my little stepson and my daughter with me. And we went into this little Baptist church where I'd been going. I thought, well, that's probably a very Conservative Baptist Church. Well, I went in there, and there was a guitar player and drums up there. It was all different than it was before. And they had olive oil, a vial of olive oil up there, and I was out there for about a... They played music and sang, and they said, well, now it's time for service. We're not going to have any preaching. We're going to have healings. We're going to come up here with you. If you've got a problem, we're going to heal you from the problem. If you've got any kind of problem, think you're demon-possessed, whatever, you come up here, we're going to... We've got this evangelist here. We're going to heal you. I looked at that, and I had seen what they had done before, and I said, well, how in the world did this happen to this church? Well, I walked out and left. I went to a kind of a fifth Sunday meeting one time. The pastor come from far away, and he brought his vial of olive oil, and this was in his conservative Baptist church. They were going to heal everybody that night. I praying over and demanding that God heal them. Well, this whole thesis is about that. The charismatic movement, the infection of it, and white magic, and voodoo. That's the story. Well, let's get over here to what these gifts really were on page 29. We're going to talk about the gifts of the helps. Antikampsis. Antikampsis is the New Testament word for helps. In Psalm 83 and verse 8, it says, Assyria also had joined with them, and they had become a help, or an arm, a zeru, to the children of Lot. This word literally means to lay hold of or against, or to lay hold of and sustain or lift up, to help, to lift up, to carry. I remember watching Audie Murphy in movies. Now, Audie Murphy was an army. He was the most decorated man in World War II. And then you got in the movies. Every now and then you would see him in the movies go grab a person, throw them over his shoulder, and take off with him. Because that's what he was trained to do in the army. He went and rescued his men. And he was doing it so naturally because he had done it so many times in war. It was second nature to him. Now that's this term here. They were helped. Now, the idea of this help is inspired leaders. Inspired leaders. In Matthew 16 and 18, a literal translation and explanation by me at that time, moreover, I also say to you that you are small stone. But upon this strong foundation stone, I shall be building my church or assembly, and the gates of hell, the unseen world, shall not wrestle her down. Talking about the church, the bride. The Lord promised that he would be with his assembly no matter what devices Satan might try to use to destroy her. Merrill F. Unger in Demons in the World Today, page 134 through 138, talks about that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus promises assembly again that he would be with her until the end, the consummation of the age. A literal but explanatory translation of this again, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is, and Jesus, having approached, talked to them, saying, was given to me all authority in heaven and upon the earth. And as you've gone out, or after you've been forced to go out, therefore make habitual learners, disciples, of all nations, baptizing them or dipping them in the authority of or in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to guard with their lives, hold strictly to and constantly to all things whatsoever are charged to you, and spiritually understand that I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. In the early days of the Lord churches, many times they must have thought it was all lost. All things were lost. But always God sustained His sustaining hand was there to hold them up. During the age of gifts, God has also given His churches and church people who had the special ability to guide and to help in various matters, from the task of cooking food for the saints to guiding the church in spiritual matters. Some Bible expositors believe that this gift of helps involved people something like deacons. A.T. Robertson says in his Word and Pictures, probably refers to the work of deacons, help rendered to the poor and to the sick. My opinion, as a writer of this thesis, is that this gift covered anything from sustaining and guarding his church to providing her with people gifted to help in the matters of what we have discussed. A person must always remember that these people do not have the Word of God. They did not have the Bible, except the Old Testament. As today, and to consult in time and need and trouble, they needed special help until the canons of Scripture were completed. Administrations now. Kibernosis. That's the word, administration. That's the seventh gift given to the churches. Kibernosis means to steer, to guide, to govern, to captain, to administrate. The word could be translated governing. The Lord churches have what is called a congressional rule guided by the Scriptures. In other words, the church itself, the little democratic body, and I'm going to do one on the polity of the church one of these days also. The Lord churches have what is called congregational rule or democratic rule guided by the Scriptures. Before the Bible was completed, these early churches of the Lord needed the gift of administrations so that they could carry out day by day transactions as needed to be and as they arrived. Until they had the book of Acts and the epistles, such as 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, 1 and Corinthian letters, these churches had no written guidelines explaining to them how to carry on business for the Lord. They have it. The book of Acts tells how the churches should ordain pastors and deacons. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Before a preacher got up and preached back then, he had to pray. And he had to have God to fill his mouth. I've heard people say that today that believe in this, you know, the full gospel churches. You don't have to study the word of God to preach. God's going to fill your mouth when you get up there. The devil will fill your mouth when you get up there. Something else, some other spirit will. You want to preach God's word, you better study the word of God. And the statement found approval among the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Simon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands upon them, and the word of God kept on spreading. And the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The priests, what are we talking about? We're not talking about Catholic priests there. The only kind of priests they had running around there was Jewish priests. And 1 Timothy 3, 1-15 also says, "It is a trustworthy statement if a man aspires to work the work of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do." An overseer then, or pastor, it's episkopos is what it is, to look over, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, that means fist fighting, but gentle and uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. I one time knew a man. He believed that God was calling him a priest. He wanted to surrender to priest, but his pastor told him that his children were out of order. Now, his children were in their 20s. They were grown on their own. The children is talking about children, little children. Not talking about grown children. Well, I know a pastor one time, the church excluded him and vacated the pulpit because his daughter was promiscuous. His daughter was 20-some-odd years old. He must be manage his own household well, so be careful how you put that down there. Keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, the assembly, so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain. They're not supposed to be alcoholics. That's what it keeps talking about, wine here. But holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let those who first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women are not supposed to be pastors. Women are not supposed to be pastors. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of one wife, and good managers of their children and their own households. For these who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in the case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how to ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support and ground of the truth. This is a church letter to us today, how to behave in the house of God. We got it. It's written. We have it down there. It is frozen in time. We don't need any more now. This is it. The word again tells us to send out letters or communicate between churches. This is what we call church cooperation. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and verse number 3, when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I shall send them with letters to carry your gift to the Jerusalem. Who's making this decision? This is a church decision. All right, the church there in Corinth. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him, and he wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace. This is another church. Acts 18:27. And again in Acts the 22nd chapter, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify from them, I also received letters to the brethren, church letters. And started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. Now the letters he's talking about here, Paul's talking about here, is from the Sanhedrin court. Sanhedrin court was a court. Each church is a court. And they said to him in Acts 28:1, we have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. And then in verse Acts 15 and 23, and they sent this letter by them, the apostles and the brethren who are elders, to the brethren at Antioch in Syria and Sicilia. It's talking about church members, members of assemblies in those, each one of those places. All the church members, they're communicating. They're cooperating. And Syria and Cilicia and are from Gentiles and greeting us. This ability to sustain and hold up churches also was to collect money. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of every week, let each of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. The brethren of that church. Now, by the way, a lot of people say this is the reason why we churches meet on Sunday. It is not. This church met every day. But on Sunday, the first day of the week, it says for them to take a collection up then so they wouldn't be there when they came. In other words, this wasn't really a church day, but they were meeting on this day because they met every day. The main day that they met was Saturday. Why do we meet on Sunday, by the way? Because Constantine demanded it. That they take Saturday worship and turn it into Sunday worship, but what they call the Christian Sabbath. We have all the blue laws in the South over that. Later on, there was a letter from heaven, they said, fell down out of heaven and said that God told these people, I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to throw you in hell if you don't start coming to church on Sunday instead of Saturday. Brethren, the early churches went to church every day. When they went out and did their work or whatever they did, they preached every day. I kind of preach every day, don't I, Marilyn? Yeah. This is the 10th time I preached this year so far. And the church was called on to elect a church treasurer. For some were supposing because Judas had the money box that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things that we have need for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. The church was already organized in Jesus' ministry. The church had apostles in it, the gift of apostles, and it also had a treasurer. Now, the treasurer that Jesus had there in that church wasn't a very honest treasurer. His name was Judas, man from Cariot, Judas Iscariot. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you on his own accord, and we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. Not only this, but he also has been appointed by the churches to travel with us to this gracious work. It said it didn't say that he had been reported and commanded by the pastors or the deacons, but by the assemblies, by the church. The church has voted to do this. And offerings from the churches, which is being administered by us for the glory of God, Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this gift, the offerings. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of men, but we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent, because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, by the way, the name Titus means title or renown, or a very important person, like a prince. He is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches. They are messengers of the churches. Didn't say pastors, didn't say bishops, but messengers from the churches that the churches had voted to go to a, what we might call, associational meeting. And show them the proof of your love and our reason for boasting about you. 2 Corinthians 8:16-24. Now, the election of a church clerk. Evidently, the first church had a church clerk too. Probably Luke was Jesus' church clerk. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be put on the list. The list here is talking about a church role. A church, single church role. Only if she is not less than 60 years old and have been the wife of one man. 1 Timothy 5:8-9. The word list indicates that they had a clerk of some sort to enroll the widows name in a record or church record book. There are just some of the instructions taken for granted today that we just practice all the time. Remember that all of these churches were independent little churches, and the churches were assemblies of people, and that every one of the people, every church was under a democratic rule, and all of them decided who they would send and who their pastor was. These are just some of the instructions that we take for granted today, but remember, they only had direct instructions during this time, direct instructions by God. The church letters that we have today with those instructions, we have them now. They were waiting for them then. Now let's go into the gift of languages. Gene glosson. Gene glosson. Gene glosson. That is our next message. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out on helps and administration to the church. Father, I pray that it helps people understand about the polity of the church and how churches organize and how churches are to be run. And Father, that the gift of these administrations was right directly from you until now we have your word. Now we have all the rules written in stone and frozen. Father, thank you for this message today from your word. And forgive me where I fail you. And help this message go out and lift people up in their faith, save those that need to be saved, and add those to your churches. In Jesus' name we pray.